Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Online Encounter Church. I'm very aware that people are watching this at various times of the week, but if you are watching on Sunday, just want to say to you a happy Mother's Day. I know this day in particular can be a little bit tricky. It can be a day of celebration and celebrating mums, but I also know that it can be a tricky day for some people. Maybe relationships with mothers are hard, or you've lost your mother, or maybe you're a parent that's lost a child, and it can bring up a whole load of different emotions. But wherever this talk finds you, I just want to pray that God's peace and God's presence and God's light will shine on each of us on this particular day. So if you have been with us the last few weeks online, you will know that we're in a series on the signs and miracles of Jesus from the Gospel of John. And we've been looking at various elements of those miracles. And today I'm going to be addressing the miracle of the blind man receiving his sight. So it's a wonderful story. Slightly shorter talk this morning because we have our mission partner, Samson, with us in person in the church, and we're going to be interviewing him. But for the purpose of this talk, we'll be just looking at the miracles of Jesus healing the blind man. So when I was praying about this talk, I really felt God spoke to me about two words. And the two words were questions and responses. And what I want to do is look at this passage in the light of questions it might raise for us and the responses of different characters in the story. So before we go any further, let's look at the passage together. We're looking at John 9, verses 1 to 41. It says this: Jesus heals a man born blind. So as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and then put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. His neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Is this the same man that used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud, put it in my eyes. He told me to go and wash. So I went and washed. And then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought him to the Pharisees, the man who'd been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked, "How did he receive his sight?" "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. "What do you have to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened," the man replied. "He is a prophet." The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. And that is why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner," he replied. "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I've already told you this, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't even know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they'd thrown him out. And when they found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe," Jesus said. "You have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who will see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." So what an amazing passage that we read here, that Jesus heals the man that has been blind from birth. And what I want to do today is I want to look at the response of the disciples in this passage. I want to look at the response of the blind man, and I want to look at the response of the Pharisees. And then I want us to look at our response to Jesus in this situation. And there's so many different angles that you could look at this passage from, and so many different questions that we could raise. But bear in mind, as we go through this teaching this morning, what are our questions and what are our responses? So the passage starts off with the disciples asking a question. And the question was this: "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And then Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned." And I think questions are very important in our lives. And sometimes we want to suppress the questions that are raging in our hearts. And particularly in the area of healing, let's be honest, we believe in healing in this church. We want to see more and more people touched by the power of God. But we also probably have our own personal questions around healing. Times when we haven't seen people healed this side of heaven, or when healings have been delayed and we think, well, why didn't God do that sooner? Questions. Whose fault was it? Why? Who was to blame? That's what the disciples were asking. And do you know, we can have lots of different questions, not just about healing in our lives. We can be asking, the parents of the blind man could have been asking, "Why is my son blind from birth?" I could ask, "Why did one of my children die?" You could ask, "Why am I sick? Why haven't I got a job? Why isn't my money stretching? Why is my relation broken down? Why? And if we're honest, at various times in our lives, we all have those questions. Who's to blame? Why is this happening? Jesus, why haven't you stepped in? Jesus, why aren't you doing something? Why? And, you know, I think that sometimes questions can be really helpful, and other times questions can result in us feeling blame and shame and guilt because we think that something's the matter with us because something isn't working out the way we want it to. I wonder how the parents of that blind man would have felt all of those years when their child couldn't see. I wonder how the blind man felt when his life was restricted because of his sight. Questions, probably. Questions raging in their lives. And I just wonder this morning, what are the questions that are raging in your life today? And are they bringing life to you, or are they bringing blame and shame and guilt to you? And the context of this passage is that the rabbis, the Pharisees, they would have known a lot about blame and shame and guilt because the teaching at that time was actually they believed that terrible punishments came on certain people because of the sins of their parents. They even believed that it was possible to sin it before birth, and they believed that there was no suffering in life without sin. Blame and shame and guilt. And Jesus speaks directly into that, and he wants to speak directly into that this morning, or whenever you're listening to this, that the questions that you have, he doesn't want them to result in blame and shame and guilt. Whose fault is it? That's not really where we want to be at. We want to be bringing those questions to Jesus, and Jesus speaks into it. And instead of blame and shame and guilt, he speaks light and he speaks life and he brings sight where there is darkness. And I really felt prophetically that that's what God wanted to do in our lives at Encounter today, with our questions, with our pain, with our suffering, with our sickness. He wanted to bring the light of his power into our questions. And you know, questions, God is not too small to deal with our questions. God is so big that he can deal with our questions, with our pain, with our suffering, with our sickness. So what do we do with our questions? You may have heard me say this before, but I find there's three really helpful things that I do when I'm just stuck with questions. And the first thing is, I find that it's really important to name it. Name your questions. God does not mind at all. You might think, oh, I can't say that to God. Why is this happening to me? Why am I still sick? Why is this a difficult situation for me? But as we bring our questions to God, God is big enough to handle them all. And I don't know what questions you are facing today, but I want to speak prophetically over us all that God is big enough to handle our questions and our unanswered questions. He is big enough to deal with the things that we want to happen that haven't happened, and the things that have happened that we don't understand and we wish weren't happening to us right now. And as we bring our questions to God, we may not always get the answers that we think we should get, but what we will get and what is our portion today is we will get the peace of God coming into those questions. So name it. Name your questions is the first thing I do. The second thing is to identify any lies that you are believing. You know, when we start questioning and then we enter into blame and shame and guilt, it's easy to believe things about ourselves that just don't line up with what God says about us. You might be facing a situation today and you think, something's wrong with me. So what's wrong with me that this is happening to me? And I want to speak directly into that today. That is the voice of the enemy trying to bring you down. Yes, you will have made mistakes in your life. Yes, you could have handled things differently. But the truth is that you are a child of God, loved by God. And whatever you are facing today, the Lord has a plan and a purpose for your life. No matter what questions you've got raging around in your world today, God wants to speak into those and he wants to bring his peace. And you need to line yourself up, not with the lies of the enemy, but with the truth of God about what he says about you, your situation and your future. So name the question, identify the lies that you're believing around those questions. And then thirdly, focus on the goodness of God. And tell yourself the truth of God. Read God's truth and speak it over your life. And don't get stuck in questions. Questions are not wrong. Bring your questions to God, but don't get stuck there. Instead, bring them and then receive the peace of God. The second response I want to look at is that of the blind man. So we read, don't we, that Jesus spat on the ground, he made some mud and he put it in the man's eyes and he told him to go and wash. And even though the man was blind from birth, years had passed, the man responded to Jesus and he went and he did what Jesus said, and the most amazing thing happened, the miracle, the sign happened, and his eyes were healed. And you know, I was thinking about this in the week as I was preparing about when Jesus speaks to me, do I respond? Do I just go and do what he says? Even if it sounds unusual, even if it sounds different, you know, do I go and do I respond like the blind man? And sometimes I do. And sometimes I don't. You know, a few weeks ago, I was in a situation where I was about to take a particular action and I heard in my spirit, the Spirit of God say to me, don't do this particular thing. Now, this thing was a neutral thing. It wasn't like bad. It didn't look like obvious sin or anything like that. I just heard it. And do you know what I did? I was rushing and I decided to discount that voice of God, and I just did what I thought I wanted to do in that situation. And I rushed on with the rest of my day, and later that day I found out that the action that I had taken had caused a really negative outcome, and I was actually quite shocked. I didn't know really quite how to handle what had happened, and I felt like disappointed because I knew that the Lord had warned me about the situation, and because I couldn't understand it and I couldn't see anything wrong and it was a very seemingly neutral thing, I just went ahead. I just did it. And I had to come to God and say, God, you warned me. You warned me and I did not listen. And, you know, and God had to bring his peace into my life about that particular situation. And I said to my husband, Dan, I said, I'm going to have to learn from this. I said, you know, I hear the voice of God speaking to me, and sometimes I obey, and sometimes I respond, and other times I think I know best, and I just carry on. But God wants us to be like the blind man, regardless of how long we've waited. Regardless of how silly it seems, regardless of, you know, what we think should happen, he wants us to be people that hear his voice and respond to him. I wonder what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about that maybe you've rushed past, or even today, maybe he's asking you to do something and it seems so small that you think, oh, I'll just leave that. We need to respond by listening to God, no matter what he asks us to do. Thirdly, I want to look at the response of the Pharisees. So they were saying, this man's not from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. How can a sinner do such miraculous signs? And it seems to me that they were absolutely consumed with rules and regulations that they missed the miracle that was before them. The man has received his sight, and they're just worried about, it's happened on the Sabbath. You haven't kept the rules. And again, I was wondering about this. How often am I like this? How often am I in my comfort zone of what I think is right and what I think is wrong and what I think, how I think God should move and whether that's acceptable or that's not acceptable, that I can miss what God is doing in my life and in the lives of those around us? And God wants us to open our eyes and he wants us to see. He wants people's sight physically to be healed and he wants us spiritually to see what he is doing. And we just have to be open to that. So really very practically this morning, I want to challenge us because we all have our comfort zones. We all have our areas of blindness where we think that our way is the right way and we can miss what God is doing. So we need to be open to what he's saying and what he's doing. You know, over the last few weeks, I've been thinking a lot about the purpose of this series, and we find the purpose in John 20, 31, and it says, the purpose of these signs and miracles is that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing in his name, we might have life. And that is the purpose of all of this, that even in our questioning, even in our hearing God, responding to God, we are to receive God's life today and every day. And we now need to think about how we want to respond to this miracle and to the miracles that God wants to do in our lives. Will we bring our questions to him? Will we come to him again? Will we bring our doubts, our disappointments, the things that we don't understand to him? Will we respond to what the Spirit is saying to us? When we hear his voice, are we responding to him? And are we open for something new that God is doing? Or are we stuck in our own ways? We've seen the response of the disciples. We've seen the response of the blind man. We've seen the response of the Pharisees. But what is our response today? Let's just pray together now as we close. Jesus, you are a healing God and you work signs and you work miracles in our lives. And we ask you today, wherever we are watching or listening to this talk, we want to ask you to come into our situations. If we need physical healing, we ask you to bring the healing. Lord, if our eyes are blind to what you are doing, open our eyes. And if we've been hearing you say to us to go and do something and we haven't been responding to you, today we say we are open, we are available, we are listening to you. Would you bring your presence? Would you bring your spirit? And would you bring us your healing in so many different ways today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.